Good morning. Wow, you're gorgeous. Welcome to Unity Church, where we are committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the very first time. Welcome. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. We invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table so that we can keep in touch with you. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers and for those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is offered on November 7th, right here. You can sign up for it at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, this lovely yellow insert in your order of service. It serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement here at Unity Church Unitarian. Please know that there is no Wellspring program this Wednesday, since each of us will be out trick-or-treating and having glorious fun. Next Saturday, November 3rd, please join us from 8:30 to 10 a.m. for our monthly pancake breakfast hosted by our Interweave ministry team. Cost is $3 per person or $10 per family maximum. It's fresh pancakes, local sausage, real maple syrup, and the best Saturday morning fellowship you'll find. And I've tasted those pancakes. They're yummy. I'd like to bring a special attention to the community ministry outreach fair that will be happening in Parish Hall. There will be tables there for each of you to stop by and have a look-see at what the outreach ministry teams are doing. We're offering wonderful opportunities for each of us to serve and to deepen our spiritual walk. So please take time to stop by the tables. Next Saturday, the service is entitled Identity and Violence. It'll be led by Reverend Rob Eller Isaac, who will be joined by Worship Associate Mary Barrymore. I think I mispronounced her name. It's Barrymore. Services will be at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following this morning's service, Sarah and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Once again, welcome, and thank you for choosing Unity Church Unitarian for your place of worship this morning.
Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free.
America never was America to me.
Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed from above.
It never was America to me.
Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wealth, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free.
Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green lands, and make America again. Come, let us worship together. Our chalice lighter this morning is young Jacob Randall. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
remain standing. Please remain standing and join with me in the unison reading at the back of your hymnal, number 601. When all the people. When all the people of the world love, then the strong will not overpower the weak. The many will not oppress the few. The wealthy will not mock the poor. The honored will not disdain the humble. The cunning will not deceive the simple.
Each time we gather for worship here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel, we set aside time to expand the care and ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that forms the center of this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illness seen and unseen, those in prison, those who live with addiction or with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with curiosity and courage. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Virginia Rader. Virginia died yesterday peacefully, surrounded by her loving daughter, Susan. Details of her memorial service will be forthcoming. We send our healing thoughts to Jackie DeLong, who is currently in HCMC with serious medical issues. We hold John Laban and Jeannie Kumaro in our thoughts and prayers as they grieve the loss of John's mother. John Laban, who died this past week on her 92nd birthday, her funeral will be held this week. We celebrate with Priscilla McAfee and the upcoming wedding of her daughter in Houston, Texas. We stand in compassion solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they be instruments of a lasting peace. May it be so. Ashe. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Transcending spirit of love and life, fall afresh on us individually and collectively. We humbly gather as a faith community to be reminded that love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is a sacrament, and service its prayer. We are grateful for the breath of life that flows in us, through us, and between us. We hold in our hearts all those who greet this day in the midst of suffering, dying, and death. We especially lift up all those who find themselves homeless as a result of the raging fires in California. O bread of life, we come with minds that are hungry for truths. O water of life, we come with souls that are thirsty for forgiveness. O way of life, we come with wills that are searching for direction. O spirit of life, we come hoping and longing for beloved community. In this holy place, may we be refreshed. May we be spiritually fed. May we know forgiveness, and may we be empowered to change the narrowness of our vision and the pettiness of our lives. With soft eyes, may we see our gifts and deepen our discernment as to how to use our gifts to bless the world and all its people. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, that was beautiful. It quieted my soul. I invite the children and all those who are young at heart to please come and join me here. Make yourself comfortable on the carpet for the story for all ages. What a delight it is to have you all here. And guess what? I have a story to tell you. When I was your age, a long, long, long time ago, I had three favorite games. And I kept some of the pieces of my game in a box much like this one. I wrapped it with the funnies from the paper, and I kept it under my bed at my grandmother's house. I really did. My three favorite games were jump rope, and check this out. I know. I could jump for hours. Yeah, I could. And my second favorite game was hopscotch. I had magic chalk, and I would draw a big hopscotch on my grandmother's porch, and I would go. I was so proud of myself. My third favorite game was jacks. Have you ever seen jacks? You have? I just love the way jacks felt in my hand. You know, I lost my ball. It went behind me. Thank you. That's what balls do. You have good eyes. So, I know, I love jacks. I love playing jacks. But one of the best parts of playing was that I sometimes lived next door to my cousins. So I would get up early in the morning, and I would go next door to my cousin's house, and I would say, come over to my house, so that we could play. I loved my grandmother's house best. Well, one morning, I was outside playing jump rope, maybe, hopscotch, maybe, jacks, maybe. I loved all three. Well, I was playing, and my grandmother came to the door. She said, Jacqueline, well, by the sound of her voice, I knew something wasn't gonna go too good. She said, could you come into the kitchen and talk with me for a minute? Well, I knew that only big, important conversations happened in the kitchen. So I stopped what I was doing. I put all my toys in my box. You know, I gathered it under my arm, and I slowly walked to the kitchen. I sat down across from my grandmother, and she said, Jacqueline, you were speaking awfully loudly to your cousins. I said, we were having fun, Nana, we were having fun. That's what I called my grandmother. And she said, when I looked out the door, you were the only one who was looking like they were having fun. She says, do you know why you like jumping rope and playing hopscotch and playing jacks? I said, it's fun. She says, I think you like playing because you win all the time, or most of the time. Oh, I'm just smiling. I have a big smile on my face. Then my grandmother asks me another hard question. She says, do you know why you win all the time? I did this. Have you ever did this? I pulled my shoulders up to my ears and I just said, well, of course my grandmother had an answer. She says that you win most of the time because You have long, strong legs, and you can jump far. You can jump farther than most of your cousins. You have strong arms, so you can turn that jump rope over and over and over. You can jump longer than most of your cousins. And then my grandmother did a really funny thing. Can I see your hand? Can you put your hand next to my hand? She did just like that, and she said, "See, Jacqueline, your fingers are longer than mine. Your hand is bigger than mine. Your hand is bigger than most kids your age, and you can pick up all of those jacks." Well, I'm feeling just so proud of myself. And my grandmother says, "Jacqueline, most kids your age are smaller than you." And she said, "Because that's the truth, it is your job to find games that are safe and fun that you and your cousins and your friends can play and enjoy." And she said, "It might be nice to play those games at their house too." Now, the last thing my grandmother said was that sharing is very important. I loved my grandmother, and she was really wise, and she taught me many important lessons, and that was a big one. She said, one more thing, she said, to have good friendships, it's really important to share and to play fair. Thank you for joining me this morning for this story. And now we will sing you out to your classes. It's a delight that each of you are here. This morning's offering will be shared with the Open Door Outreach. Open Door Outreach is an educational and a support service for people with anxiety and panic disorders. The program offers the anxiety sufferer hope and deeply needed support. Unity Church member Ron and Nancy Reed and their son Jason are involved at the Open Door. Let our material gifts make possible spiritual ministries of reconciliation and love-restored community. Would the ushers please come forward?
Peggy McIntosh, a scholar and teacher long associated with Wellesley College's Center for Research on Women, wrote this essay in 1988. I have come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets that I can count on cashing in each day, but about which I was meant to remain oblivious. White privilege is like an invisible, weightless knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, code books, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks. My schooling gave me no training in seeing myself as an oppressor, as an unfairly advantaged person, or as a participant in a damaged culture. I was taught to see myself as an individual whose moral state depended on her individual moral will. I decided to make a list of some of the things that I was able to do because of my skin. I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people of my race most of the time. If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing housing in an area that I can afford and in which I would want to live. I can be pretty sure that the neighbors in such a location will be neutral or even pleasant to me. I can go shopping alone most of the time, pretty well assured that I will not be followed or harassed. I can turn on the television or open the newspaper and see people of my race widely represented. I can go into a music shop and count on finding the music of my race, into a supermarket and find the staple foods that fit with my cultural traditions, into a hairdresser's and find someone who can deal with my hair. Whether I use track...
Thank you.
Good morning. Wow, you're gorgeous. Welcome to Unity Church, where we are committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting here for the very first time. Welcome. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. We invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table so that we can keep in touch with you. We also invite you to take one of our classes designed for newcomers and for those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is offered on November 7th, right here. You can sign up for it at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, this lovely yellow insert in your order of service. It serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement here at Unity Church Unitarian. Please know that there is no Wellspring program this Wednesday, since each of us will be out trick-or-treating and having glorious fun. Next Saturday, November 3rd, please join us from 8:30 to 10 a.m. for our monthly pancake breakfast hosted by our Interweave ministry team. Cost is $3 per person or $10 per family maximum. It's fresh pancakes, local sausage, real maple syrup, and the best Saturday morning fellowship you'll find. And I've tasted those pancakes. They're yummy. I'd like to bring a special attention to the community ministry outreach fair that will be happening in Parish Hall. There will be tables there for each of you to stop by and have a look-see at what the outreach ministry teams are doing. We're offering wonderful opportunities for each of us to serve and to deepen our spiritual walk. So please take time to stop by the tables. Next Saturday, the service is entitled Identity and Violence. It will be led by Reverend Rob Eller Isaac, who will be joined by worship associate Mary Barrymore. I think I mispronounced her name. It's Barrymore. Services will be at 9, 11, and 4:30. Following this morning's service, Sarah and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Once again, welcome, and thank you for choosing Unity Church Unitarian for your place of worship this morning. Thank you.
America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free.
America never was America to me.
Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed from above.
It never was America to me.
Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wealth, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free.
Oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and ruin of our gangster death, the rape and rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains, and the endless plain. All the stretch of these great green lands, and make America again. Come, let us worship together. Our chalice lighter this morning is young Jacob Randall. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
remain standing, please remain standing, and join with me in the unison reading at the back of your hymnal, number 601. And all the people. When all the people of the world love, then the strong will not overpower the weak. The many will not oppress the few. The wealthy will not mock the poor. The honored will not disdain the humble. The cunning will not deceive the simple.
Each time we gather for worship here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel, we set aside time to expand the care and ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that forms the center of this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illness seen and unseen, those in prison, those who live with addiction or with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with curiosity and courage. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Virginia Rader. Virginia died yesterday peacefully, surrounded by her loving daughter, Susan. Details of her memorial service will be forthcoming. We send our healing thoughts to Jackie DeLong, who is currently in HCMC with serious medical issues. We hold John Laban and Jeannie Kumaro in our thoughts and prayers as they grieve the loss of John's mother. John Laban, who died this past week on her 92nd birthday, her funeral will be held this week. We celebrate with Priscilla McAfee and the upcoming wedding of her daughter in Houston, Texas. We stand in compassion solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they be instruments of a lasting peace. May it be so. Ashe. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Transcending spirit of love and life, fall afresh on us individually and collectively. We humbly gather as a faith community to be reminded that love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is a sacrament, and service its prayer. We are grateful for the breath of life that flows in us, through us, and between us. We hold in our hearts all those who greet this day in the midst of suffering, dying, and death. We especially lift up all those who find themselves homeless as a result of the raging fires in California. O bread of life, we come with minds that are hungry for truths. O water of life, we come with souls that are thirsty for forgiveness. O way of life, we come with wills that are searching for direction. O spirit of life, we come hoping and longing for beloved community. In this holy place, may we be refreshed. May we be spiritually fed. May we know forgiveness, and may we be empowered to change the narrowness of our vision and the pettiness of our lives. With soft eyes, may we see our gifts and deepen our discernment as to how to use our gifts to bless the world and all its people. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, that was beautiful. It quieted my soul. I invite the children and all those who are young at heart to please come and join me here. Make yourself comfortable on the carpet for the story for all ages. What a delight it is to have you all here. And guess what? I have a story to tell you. When I was your age, a long, long, long time ago, I had three favorite games. And I kept some of the pieces of my game in a box much like this one. I wrapped it with the funnies from the paper, and I kept it under my bed at my grandmother's house. I really did. My three favorite games were jump rope, and check this out. I know. I could jump for hours. Yeah, I could. And my second favorite game was hopscotch. I had magic chalk, and I would draw a big hopscotch on my grandmother's porch, and I would go. I was so proud of myself. My third favorite game was jacks. Have you ever seen jacks? You have? I just love the way Jax felt in my hand. You know, I lost my ball. It went behind me. Thank you. That's what balls do. You have good eyes. So, I know, I love Jax. I love playing Jax. But one of the best parts of playing was that I sometimes lived next door to my cousins. So I would get up early in the morning, and I would go next door to my cousin's house, and I would say, come over to my house, so that we could play. I loved my grandmother's house best. Well, one morning, I was outside playing jump rope, maybe, hopscotch, maybe, jacks, maybe. I loved all three. Well, I was playing, and my grandmother came to the door. She said, Jacqueline. Well, by the sound of her voice, I knew something wasn't going to go too good. She said, could you come into the kitchen and talk with me for a minute? Well, I knew that only big, important conversations happened in the kitchen. So I stopped what I was doing. I put all my toys in my box. You know, I gathered it under my arm. And I slowly walked to the kitchen. I sat down across from my grandmother, and she said, Jacqueline, you are speaking awfully loudly to your cousins. I said, we were having fun, Nana, we were having fun. That's what I called my grandmother. And she said, when I looked out the door, you were the only one who was looking like they were having fun. She says, do you know why you like jumping rope and playing hopscotch and playing jacks? I said, it's fun. She says, I think you like playing because you win all the time, or most of the time. Oh, I'm just smiling. I have a big smile on my face. Then my grandmother asks me another hard question. She says, do you know why you win all the time? I did this. Have you ever did this? I pulled my shoulders up to my ears and I just said, well, of course my grandmother had an answer. She says that you win most of the time because You have long, strong legs, and you can jump far. You can jump farther than most of your cousins. You have strong arms, so you can turn that jump rope over and over and over. You can jump longer than most of your cousins. And then my grandmother did a really funny thing. Can I see your hand? Can you put your hand next to my hand? She did just like that, and she said, "See, Jacqueline, your fingers are longer than mine. Your hand is bigger than mine. Your hand is bigger than most kids your age, and you can pick up all of those jacks." Well, I'm feeling just so proud of myself. And my grandmother says, "Jacqueline, most kids your age are smaller than you." And she said, "Because that's the truth, it is your job to find games that are safe and fun that you and your cousins and your friends can play and enjoy." And she said, "It might be nice to play those games at their house too." Now, the last thing my grandmother said was that sharing is very important. I loved my grandmother. And she was really wise, and she taught me many important lessons. And that was a big one. She said, one more thing. She said, to have good friendships, it's really important to share and to play fair. Thank you for joining me this morning for this story. And now we will sing you out to your classes. It's a delight that each of you are here. This morning's offering will be shared with the Open Door Outreach. Open Door Outreach is an educational and a support service for people with anxiety and panic disorders. The program offers the anxiety sufferer hope and deeply needed support. Unity Church member Ron and Nancy Reed and their son Jason are involved at the Open Door. Let our material gifts make possible spiritual ministries of reconciliation and love-restored community. With the ushers, please come forward. Thank you.
Peggy McIntosh, a scholar and teacher long associated with Wellesley College's Center for Research on Women, wrote this essay in 1988. I have come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets that I can count on cashing in each day, but about which I was meant to remain oblivious. White privilege is like an invisible, weightless knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, code books, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks. My schooling gave me no training in seeing myself as an oppressor, as an unfairly advantaged person, or as a participant in a damaged culture. I was taught to see myself as an individual whose moral state depended on her individual moral will. I decided to make a list of some of the things that I was able to do because of my skin. I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people of my race most of the time. If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing housing in an area that I can afford and in which I would want to live. I can be pretty sure that the neighbors in such a location will be neutral or even pleasant to me. I can go shopping alone most of the time, pretty well assured that I will not be followed or harassed. I can turn on the television or open the newspaper and see people of my race widely represented. I can go into a music shop and count on finding the music of my race, into a supermarket and find the staple foods that fit with my cultural traditions, into a hairdresser's and find someone who can deal with my hair. Whether I use checks, credit cards, or cash, I can count on my skin color not to work against the appearance of financial reliability. I can swear or dress in ratty clothes or not answer letters without having people attribute these choices to the bad morals, the poverty, or illiteracy of my race. I can do well in a challenging situation without being called a credit to my race. I'm never asked to speak for all the people of my racial group. I can criticize our government and talk about how much I fear its policies and its behavior without being seen as a cultural outsider. I can choose blemish cover or bandages and flesh color that more or less matches my skin. If my day, week, or year is going badly, I need not ask of every negative episode or situation whether it has racial overtones. This list, I repeatedly forgot each of the realizations on this list until I wrote it down. For me, white privilege has turned out to be elusive and fugitive. The pressure to avoid it is great, for in facing it, I must give up the myth of meritocracy. If these things are true, this is not such a free country. One's life is not what one makes it.